Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
What's happening, Mr. Mokhane?
What's happening, man?
It's good to see you, dude. I mean, it's been like about 4 months or something.
Yeah, it's been a while, eh?
Yeah, it's been 4 months. The last time I saw you, well, I saw you a couple of the weeks ago. You were on O'Neill's show, I think.
Yeah.
But the last time I spoke to you was with Matt Emma straight after the competition.
Yeah.
I mean, can you even remember that day?
I do. It was a very cool day, though. It was like really fantastic. I had lots of fun in that day.
Yeah, it was the day after they'd announced that you were the winner of Idol Season 11. It was just interview after interview.
It was a crazy day that day.
And what's crazy is that was the day after. Then there were 2 days, and then you were in studio recording the album, right?
Yeah.
So it was 3 days after winning that you were in studio.
Mm-hmm.
What was that initial feeling walking into the studio and you know you've got to get this album done?
Ah, man, look, it's a lot of pressure, you know? Because obviously, I mean, they had a deadline as when they want to release the album. So there was a number of days that were given to us to work on the album and just like record everything. And we did everything from Wednesday till Sunday. So we did everything in 5 days.
Jeez, that is wild. Yeah. And after the experience that you just had.
Exactly.
And then December must have just been ridiculous with gigging because it's the busiest time of the year, whether you've won Idols or not.
Exactly.
How many gigs did you play in December?
20
something, huh?
Yeah.
It's wild. I mean, are you digesting it a little bit now?
Yeah, look, slow but surely I'm getting into it, you know. It's getting much better. I think my understanding of the industry as well, you know, it's getting much better than what it was before, you know, because everything was done for you when you were in Idols, and then now you're here. Now you need to do things by yourself, and you need to get a team that can help you do those things for you. So it's slowly but surely, gradually I'm getting there.
And it's a difficult industry as well.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing is that, you know, there's not a lot of people who actually know what they're doing, and you've got to decipher the people who kind of come across like they know what the industry is about versus the people that are actually going to be able to aid you and push you in the spaces that you need
to
go.
Exactly.
And then there's also your own artistic journey, because you've got to then be writing music and coming up with stuff that's true to you and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, looking at that as well, like right now, I've already started writing some of the songs that I'd like to see on my next album, one which I'm planning. I'm hoping that we can release it next year in February the 14th. And then
Valentine's Day.
And then it's going to be titled The Matters of the Heart.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good title for an album that's released on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
How has everyone around you changed with this change in your life?
Look, because I haven't changed, they haven't really changed, you know. Obviously, there are some people that still expect you to reach out to them, you know. But at the same time, I feel like if I'm to reach out to you, you need to reach out to me as well, you know. Don't make me feel bad for not always reaching out to you, you know. Because people always put you on this platform where, like, they just make you feel like, they make you feel bad for not calling them, or they make you feel bad for not, you know, like reaching out to them. But at the same time, I feel like if it's our relationship, it has to go both ways, you know. Don't set expectations, because I don't either. It's not like I wait for you, you know. Like, I don't set an expectation for you, so don't set one for me as well. But if you want us to maintain our relationship, if I call you, you need to call me as well, you know. Because, like, somebody will be like, oh, no, he doesn't call me anymore because he's won Idols. Oh, no, he doesn't do this because, you know. So you come across such people as well. But I've always tried to reach out to people, and people that I've known before Idols even, you know. I still try to go back to them and call them, talk to them, hook up. Hey, can we meet at this time? Can we, you know, have a little small party just to get together or something? So I always try to reach out to people. But obviously there are those that obviously just don't mind. Like, I understand you're busy. It's okay.
You've obviously moved up to Joburg now, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about this city. I mean, I've grown up here. I've been here my entire life. So I don't have a Nelspruit reference point. You have that Nelspruit reference point.
Yeah.
So talk to me about this city and how you're finding it a couple of months in.
Joburg is great, man. Joburg is great. I think the only thing that I'm struggling with is traffic. But other than that, man, Joburg is absolutely amazing. It's great. I mean, the opportunities here are limitless. Like, sky's the limit. In fact, the sky's never the limit. Like, the universe is the limit, you know. Like, I think ever since the competition has ended, there's so many things that have been brought to me. Like, God, I would try this, try that. What about this? You know, it's not just about music anymore now. It's about building a brand beyond the singing and the performing, but building a brand that is like a holistic brand, so to say, where Karabo can do this now. Karabo can do motivational speaking, yes. Karabo can do modeling. Wow. I didn't know that. Karabo can actually host his own show. Karabo can. So now many avenues are opening, you know, from this one thing that I was doing. I was just a musician, but now I'm being a complete artist that can branch off into many other things.
Do you feel like your sort of humble beginnings, I mean, one thinks back to when it was you and your siblings and it was just the Mokgane family and it was that gospel group that was going on.
Yeah.
Do you think that sort of upbringing and the way that you were brought up has prepared you for the stage that you are now? And the ethics, the morals that were implanted in you as a kid are what's grounding you, even though you're in a completely different environment.
I think so. I mean, my parents did a very good job. I can say so because, I mean, for us, not just myself, but my family as a whole, for us to turn out the way that we did, you know, they made sure that they, like, were very strict as well. Like, they made sure that whatever it is that they teach, we do exactly. And I think that's what has kept us this long. And that's what maintains the kind of person that I am as well, you know. I don't think I would have been like this. Maybe I would have been one of those crazy kids that just went around doing crazy things. But my parents always made sure that they, you know, they had me doing what I needed to do when I needed to do it. And, you know, and now being here, I think they've really prepared me for it, you know.
What's most surprising to you about doing this now as a 9-to-5? I mean, obviously, you're sitting there, you're studying geoinformatics, you're at Stellenbosch University, and you're thinking about what a career in music might be. But now that you're actually doing it, how does your idea of what it might be compare to the reality of what it is?
Well, I mean, when I was still studying, when I thought about the idea, I thought it was just singing. You know, you go and you prepare with the band and you get on stage and you sing. Like, I never thought about everything that goes into doing what I do now, you know? So that time it looked easy. It looked like something like that. Even Idols itself, when I used to watch the show, I'd be like, but oh, man, this guy, why did he make a mistake there? Why did he? Because it's easy. I'm sitting there. I don't know what they're going through. You know, it's easy for me to judge when I'm sitting at home, you know, but once you're on that stage, once you're there during the week, having to rehearse the song and everything, then you get to understand, oh, so this is how it actually is, you know? And even now being in the music industry, I know how tough it is. That's why I don't look down on anybody. I don't even undermine anybody's craft because every single person's got a different journey. I feel like every single person has a different purpose, you know? And once you've identified your purpose, you know, then it's easier for you to not muddle in other people's purposes because you've got your own thing that you're moving along with. Yeah, so that's what I've learned as well.
I remember when I was a kid, the first time I used to love Wild Room on YoTV. I used to love that show. And I remember the first time visiting the set, and it's just completely different. It's this experience of seeing something on TV and having an idea of what something is, and you go there. Even like the Idol set, it looks different in real life. Everything is different when you're actually there versus what you see on TV. There's a lot of magic that gets sprinkled into stuff to make it look bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you want to dabble in outside of the music? Because, I mean, you look at Kanye West. Kanye is, it's a lifestyle. It's not just an album that comes out.
Yeah.
It's clothing, it's sneakers, it's branding, it's so much. And when you look at yourself, do you see yourself just in the context of a guy that releases CDs, or do you see yourself as doing more things?
I see myself as a brand, man. I see myself as building, because I want to build an empire. That's me. I'd like to own my own stable someday. I'd like to open a school, a musical school, where kids, like, from a very young age, start learning how to play instruments, you know? Because I know that not all of us are singers, but there are some people that can be instrumentalists, you know? People that can write music. Some people can be producers and stuff like that. So all these things, if you teach the child from a very young age, I mean, Americans do this very well, you know? So I'd like to do something like this. And also, I'd like to open my own fashion brand, you know, like a perfume line as well. I'd like to do something like that. But those are things that are within the plan, you know? But right now, I'm still trying just to establish myself as an artist.
Yeah.
And once I've established myself as an artist, then I think it makes it easier going forward, you know? It's not easy, though, but it can be done.
Karabo, what's been the greatest day of your life?
Jeez. The greatest day of my life was obviously besides winning Idols. I think that's confirmed. But I think meeting Bibi Winans, man. Joe, what a legend.
When did you meet BB?
I met BB Winans last week, Friday.
Wow. Yeah. BB Winans, yeah?
BB Winans was here. Like, wow. He came, but obviously he didn't advertise because he was just here to support a friend who was recording here in South Africa. It's a guy called Vashon Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's a gospel artist. He came to record here in South Africa. So BB Winans flew all the way just to come and support him. But at the same time, he wanted to come and see me because he's always been watching Idols.
Wow.
BB Winans. BB Winans, yeah. Wow. And then he ever since he's been watching, he just got interested by me. Like, he's just like, this guy, I need to meet this guy. So then I don't know how he got my email, from who. He sent me an email, I'm in South Africa, I need to see you. Where
That's
can I see you?
Very then, cool.
Yeah, and then I met him on Friday, and then we had dinner with my sister and my brother-in-law, and then we're just sitting there, and he's just telling us like how he can't believe that there's such great musicians this side. But I mean, he's always loved coming to South Africa, and he's going to definitely come back now in April as well to do a tour, I think, around the country as well. So he said, no, we need to do something together when I'm here. So I was like, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
For me, that was the highlight.
That's a massive compliment because he sought you out.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a really big deal. You obviously see yourself in an international context, right?
Yeah.
How do you, position the brand so that it is a global one versus a local one and strike that balance right, that you're making music that'll, you know, get playlisted here, but that also has the opportunity to transcend borders?
You see, look, it's not very easy, you know, to write that kind of music because you are in this country. You want people in the country to buy that very music as well. And also you want to be able to reach out to the people, you know, overseas as well. It's not easy, but I think, looking at the kind of music that I've grown up listening to, you know, it has been able to channel me in even the way that I write as well. You know, there's a song that I wrote called World War. That I'm going to put on my next album as well. And that song, it speaks about what's happening right now in the world, you know, and the challenges that people are facing, not just in South Africa, but also in Africa and also overseas as well.
Mm.
You know, so the kind of music that I'm going to write for the next album is going to be pretty much international. Yeah, pretty much international.
You know that a lot of people are curious as to who you might still speak to from Idols, and if there was what actually happened in the competition. Did people all get along with each other? I mean, do you still speak to anybody from the show?
Yeah, I'm still friends with the guys from Top 10.
Okay.
We still hook up, we still meet, we still have drinks from time to time. Sometimes we would go watch movies together. So we're like, we're still cool. You're still cool.
It's dope.
Yeah.
In terms of collaborating, obviously BB Winans, that's a potential collab.
Yeah.
Is there anyone locally that you still think you really want to collab with? Because it's different. It would have been different if I asked you this question before Idols, because you were exposed to so many people that you've probably grown up listening to.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that takes away a little bit of the magic of what they are.
Yeah.
But who do you still really want the opportunity to work with in SA and then in a global context as well?
And I say, oh, there's quite a number of them, actually. I'd like to work with Black Coffee.
To
do a nice, soulful...
What stuff? I mean, he's doing amazing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Black Coffee, I'd like to work with Judith Sapuma. I love her. Brian Temba. I'd like to work with... Who else? Lyra, you know? Because I think she's a really great lyric. Like, she's a good writer.
Mm.
Like, her music, her lyrics, just on point. So I'd like to work with somebody like that. I think Zonke as well. It's got a different feel to her music. I'd like to do a song with you, Masekela, as well. Eh?
Hmm, what a rock star.
What a rock. Like, that guy, man, is phenomenal. I think I'd like to do a song with him. That, for me, would be, like, the ultimate. You know, because, I mean, he's been in the industry for the longest time, you know, and he still is in the industry, you know. And you ask yourself, how did he maintain, or how did he keep himself in the industry for this long, you know? So, for me, that would be an honor to work with him, you know. Yeah, I think that's some of the people that I'd definitely like to work with.
Bro, when your life does such a 360, and just, I mean, you go from sitting in that, you know, geoinformatics set of classes to winning Idols, I mean, what does it teach you about life? What does it inspire in your own life? What does it let you know about your own human experience?
I think what it has taught me is that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Everything is possible if you believe and if you work at it. You know, one thing that always sticks to mind is that never, always stay hungry, never get full. Because once you get full, you get comfortable, you sit, you wait, and nothing, you can never progress further in life. But if you remain hungry, you always want more, you know? And I think that's what makes great people, they always want to achieve more than what they have at the present moment. You know, I could have easily just won idols and went back to school and just chilled, or just maybe just chilled and did nothing because the purpose was to win. But the purpose was not just to win idols, but was to establish myself as a brand that can touch the world, not just South Africa.
Do you think that you're more spiritual, religious, or religious now than you were before idols, or what's the status on that?
I think obviously due to the experiences that I've encountered, you know, even through the journey of idols, it has made me grow even more, you know. And I think the relationship that I share with God as well, it's better than what it was before, because now I have literally seen him. Now this is, for me, it became literal that he's capable of doing absolutely anything. And even before then, I did believe it because I've seen him do things for me even then. But I mean, when I asked him, you know, and I said, this is what I want to do, this is where I see myself, and he literally took me from where I was to that very place that allowed me to dream even more than what, like, my dreams now are not confined in a space. It's not like I dream that I want to get here. Now it's like anywhere that I'd like to get to, it's possible. Bibi Wynand said to me, if you want to work with any artist in this world, you can. He didn't tell me how, he just told me, you can. That was it. And that for me confirmed that anything is possible.
I dig it. I wish everyone could see. I mean, you were lifting your hands as you were saying that. It's like you really believe it. I'm loving this chat because, you know, last time we spoke, it's so frenetic. There's such an energy after having such a crazy day. And it seems like you have had a bit of time to digest it now.
Yeah.
We spoke about what the greatest day of your life was. What's been the most difficult thing that you've ever had to really overcome?
Yeah. So many things, man. Look, I could name one. Like back in the day, my family, once upon a time, our house got repossessed. Like they sort of took it, but it was a scam.
Yeah.
Right. And these people, so they went to the court and they did all these things, and then they took the house away from us. So they literally took all our furniture out of the house. This is like in town. So everybody who's passing the street can see your furniture outside. They're like, what's going on in this house? And, you know, and now you don't even know how to explain. You're like, I was still a kid. I was still in grade 8 when that happened. And so I slept in the car for 3 days during that time. Had to iron my clothes. So I had to drive to my cousin's house, iron my clothes, get into the car, drive to school, come out of school, come back. When I get home, everything's been put back into the house. Tomorrow in the morning, everything is out again. Like, it was a process. Like, I think it took almost a week and a half of going in and coming out. Sometimes it would rain and the furniture would get ruined from the rain because they just like, and for me, that was like, if they kick us out of this house, where are we going to go? Because this is the only house we have, you know? And some of my siblings were still, some of them in varsity, some were here, but we all experienced it together. Like, cause obviously when they came back, now they come back to find that we don't have a house anymore, you know? And my dad said was, trust in God. That's all he said. And I think going through that and conquering, you know, that made me believe that, like I'm saying, there isn't anything that God can't do. God can do everything for you. Only if you believe, you know, if that's what you believe, that's exactly what's going to happen for you. So, I mean, for me, that was one of the toughest obstacles, you know. I mean, I've never imagined that I would stay in a car for 3 days. I never saw that happen, where I would live in a car for 3 days, but it happened, you know. And looking back then and where I am now, it's just pure grace, man. It's the grace of God.
What a contrast, you know, a day like winning idols and then an experience like that. It's probably, though, that level of contrast in a lifetime is what's going to make your art just that much stronger and that much more real and that much more authentic. You wrap it up for me, bro. We're just about out of time. Is there anything left that we need to say? Is there anything else that people need to know about you right now in this space and time?
Yeah, right now I'm planning to release my music video for my new single called Ngifuna Lo. It's track 3 on the album. And I'm planning to do a national tour called Love is a Verb Tour. And eventually I'd like to take it international, maybe do the South, the southern countries, neighboring countries, like your Namibias and your Zimbabwes and your Mozambiques. Yeah, so I'd like to do something like that. And also, I'd like to do collaborations with a couple of artists that are open to doing a collaboration with me.
Power. Always the nicest guy to chat to. That's Karabo Mohane there. It's at Mohane Karabo on Twitter. We'll play out with Ngifuna Lo. Dude, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you so much for having me,
always,
man.
Always, dope. From strength to strength you go.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.